Yeah, the Sex Pistols. I'm just thinking, Wickham must have been quite an exciting place to be then, really. I mean, or had people got it? Did people get it, guys?
I think it was probably more of a secret society, to be honest. I mean, the Pistols, if we're talking about when they first played, they weren't on the original lineup. They just didn't turn up without asking, but they were put on the lineup very late in the day. So if we want to wind back to when they first played in February 76 at the college.
I think I know someone that can do that.
Right.
On the line now, we've got Janice Rycroft.
Someone who is there.
Hi, Janice.
Hi there.
Hi. Well,
if I lose my voice, it's because I was singing along all the way through that.
Excellent, and may it never stop. Janice is now the editor of the Buckinghamshire Life.
There's posh,
isn't it? But way back, she was the junior reporter on the Bucks Free Press. Now, Janice, just give us a little little taste of how you managed to get that job, and then tell us about going to the Sex Pistols gig at the college.
Right. Well, I was officially, my nickname on the paper when I joined was The Nipper. It would be Send The Nipper, because there are very few women, and I'd left school on a Friday and started on the newspaper on the Monday.
Wow.
Not as a journalist. I started as an editor's secretary who couldn't type. I was just desperate to get into journalism. And then the day I got my O-level results, someone was leaving, and I had a chance to for that job. I had enough O-levels, and lo and behold, I became a junior reporter on the Bucks Free Press, and my salary immediately went down 50 pence. So editors, secretaries who couldn't type earned more than reporters.
And you got less as being a journalist.
It was a lesson for life. If I was going to stick with this crazy career, then I was always going to be paid less than editors, secretaries.
Well, I think it goes for anything, right, that really.
Yeah.
So were you then, were you sent specifically because you knew that what the gig was, or were you just sent one to cover
it? 5-foot-tall little blonde thing, right? Room full of pipe-smoking old drunk hacks, and me, and a couple of others, so I was the nipper. And so they decided, the Bucks Free Press, because they were looking for new readers, oh, we'll have a youth page. So obviously, it was obvious that the nipper was going to get the task. So it suited me down to the ground. Socialising, being able to put cheap beer on your expenses. Who could ask for more?
You've got it on expenses?
Oh, wow. Yes. So there I was. And so, of course, when the rag week came along, it was definitely going to be a job for the nipper. So off I went to the college, and that night is probably everybody in their life has, you know, a few things they remember. But I can flash back straight to that moment of the first time I saw the Sex Pistols, because the audience was the weirdest audience ever. You had a group of people who'd come along because Screaming Lord Sutch was top of the bill, and everyone thought, oh, that's going to be a great night, funny and good fun. You had a whole crowd who bought tickets because there was also a disco, and all they wanted was Tamla Motown and Stylistics. Yeah. Then there was a sort of rocky and willing to listen to anything group, and which I suppose me and my boyfriend belonged into. But it was a very strange thing, because suddenly there was sort of like the man comes on the microphone, right, well, we've got someone you didn't expect. There's somebody new, and they're we're going to let these lads come on. They're the Sex Pistols. And the audience was completely divided. Now, I was mesmerized. I was one of the people who found myself almost like magnetized towards the front. My boyfriend was in the boo, get them off crowd, right? Which was a sign
of the future.
Which I think they
were, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, get them off. And then there were the rest thinking, what the hell is going on here? So it completely divided the audience. And at one stage, John Lydon and Johnny Rotten was actually lying at the front of the stage, and someone just dived on there. And there was just a fight. That's the only way to describe it. And the Sex Pistols never stopped playing until the man came, tried as they waited to do the next song, and then the man came back from the disco. Well, right, well, thank you very much, lads. Off you go then. Thank you very much. And now we're going to, and whatever it was, the Jackson 5 or whatever. And they just carried on. They just started up on the next song. So then someone pulled the
poor old DJ's trying to play his
yeah, so he said, come on, lads, off you go. Right, okay. So they pulled the power, and the disco started up. And there was absolute uproar by this time because, of course, there was a whole load of us who wanted the Sex Pistols, and there were a whole load of them who wanted the Jackson 5 and everything else. And then suddenly, someone obviously backstage worked out how to put the Pistols back on, and they were plugged back in, and we got more of them.
Right, so
it was
so
a
you,
great
then
session.
Did you... Okay, so they finished a set. Is that when you went backstage and got your
well,
interview? Tell us about that.
I went out into the corridor because I wanted to catch them. By this time, I'd forgotten about Screaming Lord Sutch. I just wanted to know about them. And I managed to catch hold of John Lydon, and fascinating, intelligent, very entertaining, and interested that new people, that they were finding new people who wanted to know what this was and so on. And while I was talking to him, the booing boyfriend turned up and stood beside me. And I thought, what's going on? Because I could see someone standing behind him. And there was this sort of crazy guy dripping blood and holding, when I say it's a knife, I'm talking a very small knife, like a pen knife in his hand, staggering around, dripping blood from a cut on his hand.
Oh, my God.
And waving this knife about. And Lydon spotted him, and because I thought, is he going to stab someone with that little penknife? And fortunately, he was from his group. It was from his set. It wasn't one of the band at that time. And he said, oh, don't worry about him. He's cut himself trying to break into our van when it was locked.
Oh, yeah, because he wasn't a member of the band then, was he?
It was Sid Vicious. Yeah. Later, it was only later.
Oh, my
I realised that Sid Vicious has been wandering around there, because he was just part of their wandering around crowd in the background at that stage. I only realised it was Sid when the infamous Bill Grundy on the telly thing came on.
Oh, that's when you recognised the whole of the lineup.
That's when I and from then on, I recognised who everybody was.
Well, they did have quite a noticeable entourage, didn't they? I mean, Susie Sue was amongst them quite a lot in those days as well.
I'm pretty sure she was there. Because I met some of the girls and talked to them about the clothes that they were wearing. And there was someone, if it wasn't Susie, it was somebody else who looked very like her.
I'm sure
I would
it was.
Say I'm 90% sure it was Susie.
Now, of course, she went away and wrote this report up.
Oh, God.
And I think
the next day...
Wasn't this the second ever report on the Sex Pistols?
Of course, I wouldn't know that then. And I could have done so much more. Because, of course, the Nipper goes flying into the Buxbury press office the next morning. I've got this fantastic... They're brilliant. Well, of course, nobody else wanted to talk about the Sex Pistols. Apart from, oh, was there a fight at the Rag? Oh, yeah, write that up.
I do like your first line. Your first line was... A four-man group by the strange name of the Sex Pistols stole the show at the Rag Ball on Friday. It wasn't that they were musically good, they just refused to stop playing.
Well, they were at that stage. I mean, really, it was just so raw and so different.
Well, you got an exclusive there.
Oh, absolutely.
It was lovely.
And it's one of those memories that that you'll keep with you. We're going to have to wrap you up a little bit now, James.
Perfect training for Buck's Life, of course.
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we want to see you write a story like that in Buck's Life.
You know what? I'm very tempted.
Well, we dare you. Janice, that was fantastic.
Look,
so Janice was a Wickham lass. Yeah, quickly, Janice, yeah?
Yep, and I'm really glad we had this chance to talk about it, because it's made my evening again, and I know what I'll be listening to for the rest of the night now.
Excellent.
Once I finish with you chaps, I shall be straight on to the Pistols.
Oh, yay. What are we going to say? Thanks very much, Janice.
Thank you, Janice.
Okay,
cheers now, Janice. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Well, that was worth waiting for, wasn't it? I mean, the lady that was actually there.
Yeah, and her article actually was the main inspiration why started the website.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I've told her that on the phone before. So.
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. OK, well, we're going to play another one of these iconic... No, we're not. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Sex Pistols.
Oh, OK.
So they did make that... So that was the college... That was the college gig.
Yes, and that's where, apparently, Ron Watts first clamped eyes on them, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, Ron admits himself he didn't go along to see the Sex Pistols, he was down there for booking something else.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The infamous... Yes, we won't go into that.
Yeah. Yeah. What's on Wickham Sound?
He poked his poked his head round the corner and saw what he called a bunch of old scruffs.
Nothing changes over there.
He was looking for something a bit different in the music scene. He went back to the 100 Club, where he worked on a daily basis, and Malcolm McLaren turned up one day and said, "I want to put the Sex Pistols on at your venue." And he remembered them and thought, OK, we'll give it a go.
Wow.
And he put them on a residency on a Tuesday night.
That's right.
And he put them on about five or six times, once a month or less than that, right up to sort of September 76, up to the iconic 100 Club Festival, where he brought in The Clash and The Damned for one festival. But before that, and Andy will probably want to fill in on it, when they played at the Nag's Head, just before that, in early September 76.
Yeah, tell us about...
Yes, through the Punk of Older show, I was trying to sort of dig deep to find out the first punk bands in Wickham. And there was a band called Death Wish, and they were lads from the grammar school, Carlton and Chris Crisitis. And they were playing Who and Faces Numbers. And then they went down to... They were into sort of the music scene at the time. And they went down to the gig to see the Sex Pistols. And that's what Chris sort of said. That was, to him, changed his life. And it was sort of like ground zero to him. He sort of like, you know, the band suddenly dropped all their old numbers.
And just took on this new persona.
Yeah.
Actually, our listener, if he's still awake, we always ask that. We like to follow stuff up on pages tomorrow. We're going to post up the early footage of the Sex Pistols, which was filmed at the Nag's Head. And the two lads at the front with their shirts off are actually Carlton and Chris, aren't they?
Yeah.
And soon after that gig formed... Well, formed Death Wish. What were they called before that?
No, they were Death Wish before.
Death Wish of that.
I think,
yeah, they played their first gig in Marlow, I think in Liston Hall, I think the name of the venue.
No, there's a place.
It was a riot.
Well, obviously.
Oh, there was a riot. We get to the riots. Okay, we're going to have another.